Okay, folks, let's get it started. Tonight's Shiur is sponsored by Dr. Zev and Madeline Stern in memory of Zev's father, Shimon Alter ben Moshe, Sigmund Stern, Alav HaShalom, and his grandfather, Aaron Yechiel Alter ben Shimon Baruch, Alav HaShalom, on the occasion of both of their yard sites. In the zchus of our learning together, may the neshamas indeed have an aliyah. Okay, tonight's shiur is, if you saw the text that just went out a few minutes ago, hold on a second, I think I just stopped recording by accident. Let's try this again. All right, we're going to try this again. Oh, okay, I think we're continuing to record from where we left off. Okay, so tonight's shiur, if you saw the text that went out a few moments ago, or about 10, 15 minutes ago, is called Sefer Shmuel Perek 11. That's not particularly creative, but the title is The Ghost of Pilegesh Past. So let's get right into the parak and see what this is talking about. If you'll recall, where we left off on our story is Shaul has been appointed to be the new king, and this information is now has been disseminated amongst the public. We saw in parak 10 a lot of what makes for good qualities for Shaul to be the king, but we also saw somewhat a little hint at the very, very last word at the end of the last perek, that Shaul was as though he were silent, as though he didn't care about all the criticism. But of course, as we know, that's sort of his Achilles heel, that he does care about the criticism more than proper for a person in his leadership position. I think they say that a leader who is loved by all is no leader, and a leader who is hated by all is no leader. So in any event, so let's jump right in here to Perek 11. The title of tonight's shiur is The Ghost of Pilegesh Past. Vayal Nachash Ha'amoni. Folks, you want me to put a text up on the screen? Is anybody, yes? Is everybody, yes? Okay, let me put a text up on the screen over here. Okay. Here we go. Tanakh. Shmuel. Chapter 11. Sharing my screen with you now. Share screen. Okay, I'll make it a little bigger so everybody can see, hopefully a little better. Okay. All right. So, Vayal Nachash Ha'amoni, Vayichan al Yavish Gilad. And Nachash, who was apparently either the king of Ammon or a very important figure in Ammon, marched on the Jewish settlement of Yavish Gilad. Vayomru, and the people, the people of Yavish Gilad called out to Nachash in response to his apparent aggression. Kiras lanu bris v'navdecha. We have a deal. If you will make a covenant with us, if you will make a treaty with us, then, you know, we will be subservient to you, and we will, you know, work everything out. And we will pay you a tribute, you know, whatever vassal states have to do, or whatever vassal people have to do. But they didn't want to be decimated. And Nachash said, I have a deal for you. I will make the following treaty with you. It's pretty much the same as you had, as you said, but with one little itty-bitty difference. Bin kor lachem kol ein yamin, if each of you plucks out your right eye, if you have it gouged out, then I'll make a treaty with you. V'samtia cherpal kol Yisrael, I will make this a humiliation for all of Israel. Under those conditions, I will be more than happy to make this treaty with you. So if you haven't looked at the next pasuk, what would you guess is the, you know, what would be the next line, you know, that Bnei Yisrael, if Yavesh Gilad, what would they be responding? What would you guess that their response would be to that?
I hope they would say no.
You would hope that they would say no. Okay. All right. Well, if he says,
then they would be angry, maybe complain to somebody.
Okay. Maybe complain to somebody. Good. All right. So either they would say no, and then go out to war, or they would say no, or they would try to, you know, find some allies and make war with him. But either way, that doesn't seem like a very inviting type of response. Avi Simon, you have a question? I see your hand is raised.
Yeah, I want to say two things. One is that I think that they would say no, because like that's just like, because, and also I'm pretty sure I learned that that the cut off their eye, Nachash was actually referring to like the Torah, actually. I think he was like referring to like giving the Torah to him or something.
Okay, so there is a commentary that Avi Simon is correct about. Let's see. Most of the... let's see. Hold on a second. Rashi, here we go. So Rashi says, on the one hand, it can be explained literally, but the Medrash Haggadah explains it figuratively. Bring me your Torah scroll, which was given by the right hand of Hashem, and I will burn it, because Hashem wrote in it, namely, neither an Ammoni nor a Moavi may enter into the community of Hashem. So the way Chazal interpret this pasuk is that Nachash was giving them some type of ultimatum, and this ultimatum was that they had to give up their loyalty and their fidelity to Hashem. Now the question that I have is, what in the text would be motivating Chazal to this type of interpretation? I mean, it is a pretty straightforward pasuk. If you pluck out your eye, then I will, you know, then I'll make a treaty with you. If not, I'll, you know, pretty much decimate you. And the term plucking out your eye is not unique to this pasuk. You might recall, anybody recall whose eyes were plucked out when he was taken captive and thrown in the dungeon, and then had his hands held underneath the palace,
Shimshon HaGibor.
Very good, Shimshon HaGibor. So Shimshon HaGibor, it says they plucked out his eyes. So why did they pluck out his eyes? Plucking out the eyes is a statement of subservience. And really humiliation as well, and that's certainly what the Plishtim wanted to do to Shimshon. He had given them enough trouble and was a real thorn in their side. They didn't just want to decapitate him or cut out his knees. They wanted to do it in a very humiliating way. So the question is, why would Chazal feel compelled? Like, what in the psukim here would trigger them to interpret the pasuk in this way? Now, with all chazals, you could say this was a received tradition, and they're just, you know, sharing a received tradition. But I would argue that it's not just a received tradition that is suggesting their interpretation here, but there's something going on in the psukim themselves. So let's read on and see if we can make some heads or tails of this. So what exactly do they respond? Vayomer elav ziknei Yavesh, and the elders of Yavesh reply, Heref lanu shivas yamim, give us 7 days. Now, what are they going to do in those 7 days? Again, without looking further, my guess would be They're going to use those 7 days to contemplate whether they're going to accept this, this offer or not. But what they actually say to him is, "Haref lanu shivas yamim, give us 7 days. The nishlucha malachim b'chol gvul Yisrael, we will send out messengers throughout the land of Israel. The im ein Moshiach osanu, and if there's nobody that's going to come and save us, then v'yatzanu elacha, then we'll surrender to you." So this is a very, very strange dialogue here. You know, they say we'll make a deal. Nachash says, you know, "I'll make you a deal you can't refuse." And they, in essence, snub him. And they say, "Well, hold on to that thought. We're going to see if we can get any resources and allies to fight you. If we can get someone to save us, then we're going to... But if we can't, then I guess we'll surrender to you." Like, why would Nachash even accept that deal? And why would Bnei Yisrael even say that? So I think that the answer here is that, and this is based on something I saw by Rabbi Avnon Bazak, but you know, he has a whole development here. I'm just going to, I think, take the kernel of what he's saying. That is that, in essence, what Nachash is offering them, or is testing them from a cosmic perspective, is their loyalty to Hashem. Right? He says, "I will cut out your right eye." And Chazal say, "Well, that means, I want you to give up the Torah." Why would this at all be a sort of relevant test at this point in time? So we'll answer that in a few minutes. But what we see here is the, and as we read these psukim, what we will begin to see is that this isn't just a foreign enemy coming to wage war, but there's something more profound going on over here. I have to move your screen over so I can see my screen here. Okay. So let's go a little further. So they do in fact send out messengers. And where do they send these messengers to? Givat Sha'ul. And they report what's happened. The people of Yavesh Gilad report what has happened to the people in Givat Sha'ul. And everybody begins to cry. And now Shaul was coming from pasturing his, or driving his cattle in the field. Shaul says, "What's going on with all this crying?" And the people of Yavesh told him this story. When the people of Givat Shaul heard all of this, when Shaul heard all of this, and the Ruach of Hashem was upon him, he became quite incensed. He took a group of oxen and he cut them up into bits. Whoever does not come with Shaul and Shmuel, i.e. to fight on behalf of Yavesh Gilad, this is what is going to happen. Ko ye'asel of karel. This is what will happen to the cattle of those people. In other words, there will be consequences. Vayipol pachad Hashem al ha'am, and the fear of God was put into the people. Vayetzu ki ish echad, and they came out as one to go help the people of Yavesh Gilad. Vayifkidem bevazek, and the Jewish army gathered in Bazek. Vayu bnei Yisrael shlosh meos alef, ish Yehuda shlosh alef. And there were 3,000 Bnei Yisrael and 30,000, 300,000 of Bnei Yisrael and 30,000 specifically of Yehuda. Vayomru lamalachim habaim ko somrun le'ish Yavesh Gilad. And the messengers that came were told, "Go tell the people of Yavesh Gilad, help is on the way. The cavalry is coming. Machar tihi alachem teshua kichom hashemesh. Tomorrow, by the, in the heat of the day, in the middle of the day, when in full view of all, there will be a great Yeshua, a great salvation. And the messengers came back to Yavesh Gilad, and everybody was happy with the good news. The Anshei Yavesh said, tomorrow we will go out to you, Amon, and we will surrender. In other words, they sort of hatched this plan over here to make the Anshei Yavesh, to make Nachash and Amon think that they were going to surrender, but in fact they knew that there was going to be a great salvation. Do as you will with us. And the following day came, and Shaul divided up his troops. And they came into the camp early in the morning, and they smote Amon until the midday, until it was in plain view. And the survivors scattered of Amon, not even two were left in one group. In other words, they had completely been routed. Vayomer ha'amel Shmuel, and the people said to Shmuel, in other words, the Jewish people, all the whole nation said to Shmuel, mi ha'omer, who is the one who said, Shaul yimlo, mi ha'omer, Shaul yimlo chaleinu? Who is the one that said, remember last time in the last parak, shall Shaul reign over us? Who was skeptical about this? Those people who were skeptical, tunu anashim unim yisem, let them come forward and we will kill them. We'll put them to death. Vayomer Shaul, and Shaul said, listen, nobody's dying on my watch. Lo yumas ish bayom hazeh, ki hayom asa Hashem tshuva gedola b'Yisrael. Nobody's dying today. Nobody's being put to death today. There's a great victory that has been had. Ayomer Shmuel al ha'am, and Shmuel says to the people, L'chu v'nelcha ha'gilgal u'nechadesh sham ha'melucha. Let's go to Gilgal, right, and we will inaugurate the monarchy. Ayolchu kol ha'am el Gilgal, the whole nation, or representatives of all the tribes, came to Gilgal. They coronated Shaul. They gave karbanos before Hashem. Vayismach sham Shaul v'chol anshei Yisrael ol ad me'od. And there was great joy with Shaul and the people, and great celebration. All right, I read this parak rather quickly, but I did so in order to really go back and read it again. And the reason I want to read it again is, I want to read it again in the context of the following two questions. Who are the Yavesh Gilad? Who are these people? Why is it significant? That's second of all. That's the main question. Who are the people of Yavesh Gilad? Why is this so significant? The key to understanding this perek is understanding who Anshei Yavesh Gilad are. So I'll ask us to put our thinking caps on and to go back in time a year ago, or whenever it was, when we were learning Sefer Shoftim. And I want you to go to Sefer Shoftim, Perek Chaf. Actually, Perek 19. All right, I'm going to share my screen with you.
Is that where that woman was murdered? And cut up?
No. That is the story, but not where she was murdered and cut up.
Oh.
Right. Hold on a second. Where is my screen? Here, there we go. All right, so let me take you to... Let me take you to Shoftim Perek 19. And we're going to do a quick review. Make this a little smaller so we can see more on the screen. Okay. New. There we go. Okay. So you might recall, as Barbara just did, that that Shoftim Perek 19 begins the story of Pilegesh Begiva. There was no king in Israel at this time. And a Levite went to Ephraim, and he took with him his concubine, Pilegesh. But Tizna loved Pilegesho. She leaves him, and she goes back to her father's house in Yehuda. She was there for 4 months. Her Baal, her husband, decided it was time to go and seek her out. He goes and he tries to woo her back. He goes with his lad, Vitzemed Chamorim, and a Tzemed, a pair of donkeys, right? So you'll recall that in our parak over here with Shaul and Yavesh Gilad and all of that, so they went out with a tzemed of cattle as well. The father of the concubine sees him coming. He's very happy. Brings him in. They eat. They drink. Right. That's not so much our story over here. And then finally, he says, listen, after several days of being held back by the father-in-law, it's time to go. So he goes, he takes the Pilegesh and his Na'ar. They get close to Yevus, which is Yerushalayim. V'imot tzemed chamorim u'filag shoimo. Again, he has this tzemed chamorim and the Pilegesh with him. V'yomer Hanar, and the lad says, let's go and we will sleep in this fine lodging in the city. And he says, no way. We're not going to go to this non-Jewish city. You know where we're going to go? We're going to go to Giv'a. So, so in our story in Shmuel, the people of Yavesh Gilad go also to Giv'a. They go to Giv'at Shaul, which is in Binyamin. So here, in Shoftim, so this guy takes his concubine and they go to Giv'a. Vayomer Lenaro, and he says to his lad, let's find the place, V'lanu ba'Giv'a. And we will find lodging and we'll sleep in Giv'a. Right? This is the area of Binyamin. Vatavola Hamashemesh, the sun sets, Eitzel HaGiv'a, Asher LeBinyamin. Vayasur Sham Lavola Lon BaGiv'a, and they go and they sleep in the Giv'a, the place of Binyamin. The Ein Ish Me'asef Osam HaBaisal Alon, there's nobody that takes them in to sleep. V'nei Ish Zaki, and there's one old man. And he is in the Giv'a. He's there in Givat Shaul, Givat Binyamin, Giv'a. It's all the same place. So this old man sees him. He says, where are you going? Where are you coming from? Let me take you in. We're travelers. I'm on my way to the palace of the Lord, and there's nobody taking me in. I don't need anything, but I'd like a place to sleep. He says, "Rak berachov al talin. Don't sleep in the. You'll come. You'll stay by me." Story continues. Pasuk 23. There are some evildoers. What's the word? A depraved lot. Anshe bli'al. You know, so they come and they gather around the house and they say, "Take out, send out the people. We want to abuse them." So he says, he pleads with them, not to. 24. Hinei biti habesula upilag shehu. Otziana osam vianu osam vasulahem atov beinechem. He says, look, here is my virgin daughter and his concubine. Let me bring them out to you. Have your pleasure of them. Do what you like with them. But don't do this outrageous thing. B'lo'avu ha'nashim lishmo alo. The people didn't want. They didn't agree. V'yachazek ha'ish b'filag sho. The man took his concubine, threw her out the door, and they raped her all night long, till the morning. V'tavo ha'isha lifno saboker. And after being abused all night, the woman rambles up to the doorway in the morning, and she collapses in front of her master's Beit Ha'isha Asher Adonai Sham, in front of the doorway of the house where she and her husband had been, had been given lodging. By Yaakov Adonai Baboker, the husband got up in the morning. He opens up the door. He sees his concubine. Dead in front of him. Va yomer eleha kumin elcha vein oneh. He realizes that she's dead. By avol biso, he goes home. He takes a knife, and he takes his concubine and he divides her up into multiple pieces, and he sends her out to all of Israel. Now, thinking about vahaya kol haroeh, whoever saw this. Said Lo Nia Savlonius Kazos Limia. We never saw such a thing like this. Now let's just fast forward a little bit. So he sends out these pieces of the Pilegesh throughout Israel, and the people find out. They understand. They hear. He tells them what's happening, and they decide that they are going to go to war against Shevet Binyamin. And in fact, that's indeed what happens. Let's just read a couple of psukim here. Vayishmu'u b'nei Binyamin, the people of Binyamin, i.e. in Giv'ah, right? They hear, ki alu b'nei Yisrael ha-mitzpah, that the rest of Klal Yisrael is coming to wage war. Vayomru b'nei Yisrael, dabru echani asahara azos, vayana ish, how could this have happened? And the man says it happened because of what happened in your area, in Giv'ah. I came with my concubine, and some of your people raped her all night long. And then I took her, and I divided up her into pieces, and I sent her around, because such a great depravity had been done. Now the people are coming, they're going to wage war against you. Vayakam kol ha'am ki shachad, and the people came as one unit. And they said, lo nelech ish la'alo, v'lo nasur ish leveito. No one will go back to their homes, not to their houses, but rather we will go and we will wage war on Binyamin in Giv'ah. And that's indeed what happens. And Binyamin is entirely routed. Pasuk 13, Va'ata tenu ha'anashim b'nei Belial asher b'Giv'ah. They say, listen, give us the wayward people and we'll take care of them. But Binyamin didn't want to give them up. And so there was a great war. And the pasuk tells us how many tens of thousands of people went to war and where they waged. And at the end, they made a vow. And they vowed that no one in Israel would marry into Shevet Binyamin. Vayalu b'nei Yisrael, vayivku lifnei Hashem. They went up and they cried. Vayishalu b'Hashem le'mor, ha'osif la'gevesh l'slam milchamayim b'nei Binyamin achi vayomer Hashem alu elav. They cried out, shall we go out to war? And he said, yes. And they went out one day, in 2 days. Ultimately, there was a total routing. Let's just wrap it up over here. They decide that nobody is going to marry into Binyamin, and then they have Charata. They say, how can we just get rid of one entire nation in Israel? We can't have that. That can't be. We have to do it differently. The Ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzvah, Ish b'menu lo yitein bito l'binyamin. Every Jew, every tribe made this vow. But after they had charata, they said, listen, me asher lo ala b'kahal mikol shiftei Yisrael l'Hashem. Was there anybody who didn't make this vow? Ki ashvag dolay asher lo ala l'Hashem mitzvah l'mor mos yumas. You know, we said whoever didn't take the vow shall be put to death. And guess, folks, who didn't participate in this vow against Shevet Binyamin? Pasuk 8. Vayomer, v'hine lo ba ish al ha-machane mi-yavesh Gilad el ha-kahal. The people of Yavesh Gilad had not taken this vow to refrain from marrying into Shevet Binyamin. Okay, that's a lot of reading I did tonight, but now I want to put it all together over here. Let's go back now to Shmuel. All right, so there are two groups of people here in Shmuel. We have the people of Yavesh Gilad, who have been threatened by Nachash HaAmoni. And then we have the people of Giv'ah, who are coming to their rescue. Okay? Let's just say that again. We have the people of Yavesh Gilad, who have been threatened by Amon. And then we have the people of Giv'ah, i.e., the people of Binyamin, that are coming to their rescue. Back in the in Shoftim, in the Pilegesh Begiva situation, we had also a story. We had a story of Yavesh Gilad, who refused to to take the vow not to intermarry against Binyamin. So we have these two groups of people in the story of Pilegesh Begiva, Anshe Yavesh Gilad, and the people of Giva, i.e. Binyamin. And now we find them again in Shmuel, the people of Yavesh Gilad, and the people of Binyamin in Giva. So with that in mind, I want to read this more slowly, the psukim in Shmuel, and hopefully I think see something really fascinating here. Just 1 second. Okay, here we go. Okay. Okay. So back in Shmuel. Okay. Vaya'al Nachash HaAmoni, vayichan al Yavesh Gilad. Nachash HaAmoni goes up to Yavesh Gilad, and he threatens them. And he says, Kol Anshe Yavesh, and the people of Yavesh said, let's make a covenant. Right? This reminds us a little bit about what happens in, what happens with Pilegesh Begiva, starting with the people of Yavesh Gilad. There was a covenant that was made amongst all of Klal Yisrael. Over there, it's a covenant not to marry the people of Binyamin and to wage war with them. Over here, it's a different covenant, but we have the people of Yavesh Gilad and a covenant. Vayomer aleihem Nachash HaAmoni, and Nachash says to them, I'll make a covenant with you as long as you nikor ein yamin, you take out your right eye, or as Chazal said, you are disloyal to the Torah. V'samti acher pal kol Yisrael, and I will make a great humiliation in Israel. So here you have the Anshe Gilad in the context of possibly making a humiliation in Israel, which reminds us of the story of the Pilegesh Begiva. You had the Anshe Gilad, the Anshe Yavesh Gilad, the people of Yavesh Gilad, and we have a terrible shame that was also brought about Israel. A different shame and a different covenant, but we have these people We have a covenant, and we have a great shame that has been brought upon Israel. Vayomer elav ziknei Yavesh, and the elders of Yavesh said to Amon, I'll tell you what, Amon saying, I'll make this covenant with you, really a deal that was no deal at all, and basically saying, I'm going to threaten war with you. Back in Shoftim, in the story of Pelegesh Begiva, we have Klal Yisrael waging war against Binyamin and giving Binyamin an ultimatum, and an ultimatum that apparently Binyamin thought they couldn't do, which they didn't, and ultimately there was war. So again, another connection here. Where are we going with all this? Vayavo hamalachim givah shaul. Now the people of Anshe Yavesh, they go to Binyamin to give to seek help. Shaul, descendant of Binyamin, in the territory of Binyamin, they go seek help from Binyamin. Back in Shoftim, it was the Anshe Yavesh that were the only ones who didn't go to war with Binyamin. The whole of Israel was going to war against Binyamin, and now you have the whole. And now you have Anshe Yavesh coming to Binyamin for help, and Binyamin is going to take the whole of Israel to help Anshe Yavesh. It's like an inversion. V'hine Shaul ba acharei habakar min asadeh. Shaul is coming from driving the cattle in the field, and Shaul says, "Why is everybody mala'em kivku? Why is everybody crying?" Remember back in Shoftim, the whole Pelegesh Begiva story, the people of Binyamin, they were crying, said the Navi. So you have the people of Binyamin crying there, you have the people of Binyamin crying here, you have a covenant and a covenant, you have an ultimatum and an ultimatum, you have the people of Anshe Yavesh and the people of Binyamin that are at one with one another. But there is one significant difference. There is a great shame that is being threatened upon the people here, and there was a great shame that was done to a woman in Israel there. But there's one big difference. What's the difference? We'll see in a moment. Vatitzlachu Elohim al Shaul b'kishamoes advarim ha'ela v'ichar apo me'od. When Shaul of Shevet Binyamin in the territory of Binyamin heard what was happening to Anshe Yavesh, he got very upset. Vayikach tzemed bakar, he takes his pair of oxen, vayinatchehu, and he divides it up, he cuts it into parts. Back in the story of Pelegesh Begiva, there was a reference multiple times to the pair of oxen, and over here we have a reference to the pair of oxen. Over there we had the husband of the concubine taking her and dividing her up into parts, sending her out into Klal Yisrael, unifying the people against Shevet Binyamin. And here we have Shaul of Shevet Binyamin cutting up a pair of oxen, sending those pieces of oxen all over the land of Israel, unifying the people not against anybody, or not against anybody within Israel, but to protect Anshe Yavesh against an outward threat. And the people were unified now, unified to protect Anshe Yavesh. Over there in Pelegesh Begiva, the people were also unified. Okay, but over there they were unified to smite and to go to battle against Binyamin. So, big picture over here, we have the story of Pelegesh Begiva. A terrible thing occurred. There was a war within Israel. There were all types of references similar to what's going on here in Shmuel. And you have a unity of the people to add on to all of that. But there's a big difference. What's the big difference? We'll see that in a moment. Pasuk 8. Vayifkidei bevazek vayu b'nei Yisrael 300,000 ish Yehuda 30,000. Just like over there in the war between Binyamin and the rest of Klal Yisrael, it tells us how many people and where they, how many people gathered and where they gathered and what they did. Here too, It tells us they gathered, how many people, how many soldiers. Vayomru lamalachim habayim ko somrin le'ish Yavesh Gilad. Go tell the people of Yavesh Gilad. Machar tihiya lachem teshua. Tomorrow there will be a great salvation. In the morning, kichom hayom. Vayavoa malachim vayagidu la'anshe Yavesh vayismachu. They go and they tell the people of Yavesh, and there is great joy. Now, this is a difference. So, back in Pilegesh Begiva, they go and they find the Anshei Yavesh. This is one lone tribe that it had not taken part of the vow, and they go and they find them and they smite them. And they say, and over here, they go and they find Yavesh Gilad, and they send messengers, and they tell him what's going to happen. But of course, there's a big difference. Vayomer Anshei Yavesh. And so now the people of Yavesh say, Machar Netzei Aleichem. Tomorrow we will surrender ourselves to you. Vasisam Lanu Kechol HaTov Beinechem. And you will do with us what you see fit. Back in the story of Pilegesh Begiva, the people in the house in Giv'ah, right? They called out to the people in the streets. They said, "Listen, leave us alone." And they said, "All right, we'll give you our daughter, our concubine. Do with her as you see fit." Okay. So back in the story of Pilegesh Begiva, the people of Binyamin, the people in Giv'ah, the people in Givat Sha'ul, right? They gave the people of Anshei Yavesh, they gave the people of Anshei Yavesh. They gave the bad people this concubine to do with her as they will. So again, that's another connection over here, but it's different. Vayihimi macharat vayasam shol as ha'am shlosha rashim vayavo b'socha machaneh b'shmor saboker. And then in the morning, it all came to pass. B'shmor saboker, early in the morning, Shaul from Binyamin takes his soldiers in defense of the people of Yavesh against Ammon in the morning. And a great salvation occurs. Back in Pilegesh Begiva, they abuse the woman throughout the night, and in the morning she drops dead. And the enemies over here are disbanded. Now, there are so many connections here between this story and the story of Pilegesh Begiva, but all of these similarities are meant to highlight the major difference. And the major difference is that even though we have the people of Yavesh Gilad and the people of Binyamin in harmony and unity back in Pilegesh Begiva and here, and even though there's so many similarities calling our attention, connecting these two prakim, these two stories, but there is one significant difference. And the significant difference is that here we have a king. Here we have a melech. And here, since we have a melech, the story is entirely different. Entirely different. In the case of Pilegesh Begiva, it was Ish Hayashar Be'enav Yase. Everybody did as they would. Civil war. Terrible tragedy, terrible abuse. There was unity of the people, and the unity of the people was to wreak havoc and death upon one of the tribes. So, what we're seeing here is a sea change, and in fact, on one level, it is a crystallizing of a transformation of the people from this ragtag group during Shoftim to a people led by a strong, hopefully a strong king under the leadership of Hashem in the Torah. And that is significantly different, the king. But what is also significantly different is the unity of the people. There was unity of the people in Shoftim, but that was unity sort of against one of the tribes. Now it's unity in support of a threatened tribe. Everything is turned on its head. So,
Rabbi, I don't understand. In Pasuk Yud, it says, "Vayomru Anshei Yavesh." Who are they talking to here? Like, what is it? I don't understand when it says, "Vasitam lanu kachalato veinechem." I didn't understand.
The people of Yavesh were telling the people of Nachash and Ammon that we will surrender ourselves to you, right? It was a ploy. It was a trick.
Okay.
So in this experience here, Bnei Israel undergoes a transformation and a tikkun of sorts, right? Where there was unity against the tribe, now there's a unity in support of a tribe. Where Binyamin in Giv'ah last time around was really the cause of terrible deprivation. This time, Binyamin in Giv'ah under the leadership of Shaul is the cause of great salvation. Last time around, the people of Yavesh Gilad removed themselves from Klal Yisrael. They removed themselves from Klal Yisrael in solidarity with Binyamin. Now the people of Anshei Yavesh are supported by all of Klal Yisrael in solidarity with Binyamin. So there's a lot of inversions of turnabouts that are going on in this parak here. And as Rabbi Shiloni pointed out, it is reflective of the fact that this is the power and the value of having a melech. So and in that context, now the people, I think, perhaps are ready to see that more powerfully so. And that's where the parak ends. Vayomer ha'am el vayihimi macharas, and it was the next day. And Shmuel, Pasuk 12. Vayomer ha'am el Shmuel, the people said to Shmuel, Mi ha'omer shal yimloch aleinu tnu anashim unimisem. Who had any skepticism, doubts about making Shaul king? Whoever it is, we'll put them to death. And Shaul says, no, this is not the way we do it. Lo yumas ish bayom hazeh, ki hayom asa Hashem tshuva b'Yisrael. Hashem did a great salvation for Klal Yisrael today. Nobody's dying today. Right? Back in Pilegesh Begiva, so, you know, people were angry, legitimately so. People were upset, legitimately so. What's the answer? Let's gather all the people and kill thousands of Shevet Binyamin. Shaul from Binyamin, in the territory of Binyamin, when the people's passions are inflamed in solidarity with Binyamin, Shaul says, no, that's not what we do. Lo yumas ish bayom hazeh, hayom asa Hashem tshuva gdola b'Yisrael. Vayomer Shmuel el ha'am, and he says, listen, now we're going, and we're going to inaugurate the monarchy. And the people walk in lockstep with Shaul. There was great simcha, great joy, great celebration, offering karbanos and thanks to Hashem. And in doing so, the monarchy of Shaul is established. So this was a little bit of a different kind of shiur that I gave tonight. I did a lot of reading, but the purpose of it was not just to hear my voice, over the course of 50 minutes, but I really wanted to show you that this perek is integrally connected, both in terms of the storyline of what happens. There's a lot of allusions to Pilegesh Begiva. There's even textual allusions to Pilegesh Begiva. And the purpose of that, as Rabbi Amnon Bazak points out, is really to emphasize this transformation that is going on in Klal Yisrael from the time of a weak shofet to the time now of a strong king, and what that can do for the benefit and the future of Bnei Israel. And this bodes well, if not, you know, we know the end story for Shaul, but it bodes well, at least at the outset, for a great monarchy to come. Okay, any...
Anshei Avesh Gilad said thank you to Shaul after he died, when they buried him. Shmuel Bet...